Okay, it's taken a really long time. The idea for the electric car has been around for a long time. But next month, you can buy either a Chevy Volt or a Nissan Leaf. And here's the dream scenario for our utility companies, right? Thousands, tens of thousands of these electric cars roll out of showrooms across the country. And here's the nightmare scenario for our power companies, right? Thousands or tens of thousands of these electric cars roll out of showrooms everywhere. That's because, and just listen to these numbers for just a second. Okay. When it's plugged into a standard 120-volt socket, an electric car will draw about 1,500 watts. That's compared to, say, a microwave oven or an air conditioner draws about 1,000, right? But they're charged faster, and therefore they draw more power more quickly. So actually, the Tesla Roadster, which is an electric sports car with a gigantic battery, yep, can draw almost 17,000 watts. That's the equivalent of 280 60-watt light bulbs. Are we ready to handle that, or is our grid ready for that? To answer that question.
hey, Murray, you going to charge your Tesla, or can I turn my air conditioner on?
Mark Duvall is the director of electric transportation at the Electric Power Research Institute in Palo Alto, California. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
Also with us, Kent Larson, director of the Changing Places Research Group at the MIT Media Lab. Good morning, Kent.
Good morning.
Kent, you guys have been researching this issue of whether or not our grid can handle the electric car for a long time, right?
Quite a bit, yes.
And what is the answer to it?
Well, I think the answer is that we're still at the early days of electric vehicle evolution, a little bit, you know, like the engine replacing the horse on a buggy. And cars will evolve quite rapidly, and they'll become much smarter. They will, in the future, know your use patterns and the state of the grid, and they'll begin to negotiate the time and place to charge. And I think when we get to that point, some of these worst-case scenarios are really overblown.
Well, Mark Duvall, let me ask you. I mean, the initial sales expectations for the rollout of the Nissan Leaf and the Chevy Volt are maybe 30,000 cars nationwide. That's a very small amount. But,
oh, yeah, it's very small. But, a few hundred per state.
But what they're worried about are cluster areas. Explain to me what a cluster area is.
Well, a typical sort of example of an area for clustering would be a neighborhood where there are lots of potential early adopters. So you buy an electric car and your neighbor says, well, it looks like a good idea, I'm going to get one. And you end up with a lot of vehicles in a very, very small area. And that's still not an issue unless that area also happens to be maybe an older neighborhood that's a mature area where the distribution system was designed a long time ago. And as we know, the electrical demands of homes have grown over the years. You know, first we had electric kitchens, then we had air conditioning, now we have plasma TVs and computers. So there could be areas, especially I would say in cooler coastal areas where homes don't have a lot of air conditioning, so the system's not really designed for a lot of capacity. You can get areas where you get a lot of cars in there, and it could require some upgrades to the system to keep everyone happy.
And, you know, certainly people have been talking about a smarter grid for quite a while. Kent Larson, you know, it is tremendously inefficient to drag a gasoline fuel tank around in an internal combustion engine, but potentially it's actually quite efficient to have the fleet of cars in the United States be this huge storage battery for power that's constantly sort of boiling off the grid during off-peak hours and simply wasted. We would hold on to that energy if the fleet was constructed correctly. How would we do that?
Well, I think that's a reasonable scenario in some cases. You don't want to power your toaster with these high-value electrons from a very expensive battery, typically. But if particularly in cities where, you know, there's a lot of pollution and congestion and trips are short and parking is scarce, et cetera, if we design fleets of shared-use vehicles that are all networked and much more intelligent, and of course they're very lightweight and use very little power to begin with, then you can have them part of this power ecosystem, and you know potentially at certain times power can go both ways, and you have some great benefit to the grid potentially.
Well, let me ask Mark Duvall. I mean, I've heard it compared to adding one or two electric vehicles to a neighborhood is like putting another house on the block, potentially. And in Southern, in California, they have a goal of 1 million electric vehicles by 2020. Is California ready for that kind of electric draw on its system?
Yeah, so on a system level, the average load of an electric car, you know, on the peak, so on the summer peak, so when the grid is under maximum stress, is probably only around 600 to 800 watts. If you look at all the electric vehicles, some are driving, some are plugged in and charging, some are plugged in and fully charged or not charging for some other reason. So if you look at the system-wide, so for the entire state of California, it's like someone buying a large plasma TV. So the system-wide, it's fairly small. What the utilities are most concerned about is the distribution transformers in the local neighborhood. So that's the cylindrical, gray cylindrical object on the power pole outside your house, or if you're lucky, you have underground and it's in a usually a cement or a metal vault somewhere either under or right on the side near the sidewalk or your street. So those devices are really the first and possibly some of the only parts of the system to be impacted, and that's because those transformers are designed to handle a certain number of houses with a certain expected load. And if you start adding things, and in this respect, an electric vehicle is not much different from a spa, you know, like a hot tub or some other fairly large device that people add all the time. And if you add too many of them, that transformer becomes overloaded. And what happens when they're designed to be overloaded, so that's not a problem, but they do fail early.
Well, and that's the thing, really, Mark, let me interrupt you for just a second, is that to a certain extent, it's still a marketing issue for both the utilities and the electric car makers, that this is the first impression. If people plug in their electric cars and it causes a brownout, that's a marketing problem for the future.
If that transformer fails, that's a completely normal thing for the utilities to replace. And they do it all the time. Their interest is in minimizing the number of times they have to do it.
That is Mark Duvall, Director of Electric Transportation at the Electric Power Research Institute. Kent Larson is the architect and director of the Changing Places Research Group at the MIT Media Lab. Thanks so much, both of you.
Thank you.
NYC Now delivers breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. By sponsoring our programming, you'll reach a community of passionate listeners in an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to learn more.